For example, in my family, we have a lot of songs and that we listen to, that we perform to, that we enjoy for ourselves. But my father, for example, had a song that he really liked, and we all always, wherever that song is played anywhere, we all go really, really crazy because everybody loved my father, you know, and we really proud of that song. And that song says it's called Nampule. It's
No, I've Nampule. Heard it.
Yeah, you heard it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nampule. Nampule means it's the song of freedom. Come free me. Freedom. Song of freedom. And the frame that my father liked the most and that I always use, he says, you know, sing the song of freedom. Because the world will not remain the same. So the world will not remain the same. It's something that, like, you have to remember every day. The world will not remain the same. The world will not remain the same.
Hello there. I'm Yonka Kamara. Welcome to Kume Turning Point Diaries, where we share stories of critical moments in our personal and professional lives.
Wow. What a year. I can't believe 2020 is almost over. For many of us, this has been an incredibly challenging, transformative, and life-changing year. For better or for worse, 2020 has changed us. In 2020, I learned how to be comfortable with change and think beyond my current circumstance. Like many people, I lost my job. This is something that I could have never imagined. I was one of those people who thought, as long as I want my job, I'll have it. I work hard, I have a job that's stable, whatever that means. But things change, and I had to learn how to accept that change and move on. In truth, this loss has given me a tremendous opportunity to slow down, pause, and do some deep thinking around my life, my commitment to things I care deeply about, and my core values. The events of COVID-19, as well as this podcast journey I've been on, have made it clear that I am not my circumstance. What really matters is my health, my family, and my community. In reflecting on 2020, I wanted to share with you guys an Instagram conversation I did on Kume's page. If you're not following us on IG or Facebook, please do so. That's where all the fun engagement happens and ongoing conversations. So back in April, before the official launch of the podcast, I had a conversation on there with my father, as some of you guys have met him now, if you listened to the last episode, episode 10, about change. My father is someone who's very comfortable with change. He's able to pivot and frame a story about his situation and understand that he is not his circumstance. And I'm not that, you know, I'm someone who struggles with change, who really wants a sense of security and stability. I know a lot of people want that, but I really I make decisions based on what's going to give me the most stability and security. So I'm not really I'm not a risk taker, to put it lightly. So 2020 caused me a lot of stress and anxiety because I didn't know what was going to happen. So when I lost my job, that was really hard because at first, back in April, we heard that there was going to be some layoffs and I was saved from that layoff. And then in October, there was a second round of layoff and I was not saved. And I had to really think about and tell myself a different kind of story of who I am and what my future is and what I'm capable of. So I wanted to share this conversation to help us to begin to talk about our experiences in this year and as we put into words, but also be conscious of how we frame them, because what we say about 2020 and the lessons we'll learn will affect how we apply them. And there's so much that we have gained from this year. With all the setbacks, there's a lot. Here's a snippet from that conversation, and I'll catch you at the end of that to share more of my reflections.
The other day I called you. I often call my dad, actually, Baba, whenever I'm in a moment of crisis. And yesterday I found out that my job had plans of you know, furloughing and laying off people. And I was immediately like in panic mode. I was so scared. You know, they haven't told us who's going to be let go, who's going to be furloughed. And I was so scared and didn't know what to do. And whenever that happens, the first person I think of doing is calling my dad. He's like my crisis manager. And I just, you know, one of the things he said, you listened to me and then you said, you know, everything is going through changes right now and you need to be comfortable with change and uncertainty and have faith, you know. And the thing that you said about faith is that it's like the ability to think beyond your current circumstance, right? It's not in the religious sense. So can you talk about that? How can we begin to talk about our experiences and put into words, but also be conscious of how we frame them, because they're stories, like I said.
Yes, it's interesting that, you know, for example, in my family, mm-hmm. we have a lot of songs and that we listen to, that we perform to, that we enjoy for ourselves. But my father, for example, had a song that he really liked, and we all always, wherever that song is played anywhere, we all go really, really crazy because everybody loves my father, you know, and we really proud of that song. And that song says it's called Nampule.
I've heard it.
Yeah, you heard it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nampule. Nampule means it's the song of freedom. Come free me. Freedom. Song of freedom. And the frame that my father liked most and that I always use, he says, you know, sing the song of freedom, because the world will not remain the same. So the world will not remain the same. It's something that, like, you have to remember every day. The world will not remain the same. The world will not remain the same. And, you know, they would say, who is a fool? A fool is someone who does not know that tomorrow exists. And when does tomorrow exist? Well, tomorrow is here when you least expect it. So every day is tomorrow. You know, where we're living in a constant change, and we be permanently aware of that and make that our part of our organizing principle in our lives, that change is permanent, you know, and be comfortable with change. Change means opportunity. Change means all kinds of things, new ways of looking at things. And so when you talked to me yesterday, first thing that came to my mind, and it's part of my experience of telling my story, is simply that, wow, mom, this is an opportunity for you to be doing the other things that you really want to do. Like, you know, this is time for you to, you know, spend more time on, you know, turning points. It's coming right at the right time.
Yeah.
This is a time for people to tell their stories. It's like we are all going through all this pain right now, this suffering right now, this anxiety, uncertainty. This is time to tell our stories, to begin to see what kind of story do we want to tell about ourselves. You know, like to my daughter, I'm thinking to myself, oh, my daughter is thinking about possibly losing a job and maybe being depressed about that. No, let's think about how is she going to frame this? How is she going to look at this situation that she's in now? She look at herself in a changing environment and changing circumstances and changing situation and be comfortable with that, and that is permanent and there's no fear. So the fear goes away. The idea of being afraid of what's coming tomorrow goes away, because you know, the world will not remain the same.
Yeah, and that's hard. You know, you know me. I tend to be a very anxious person. I tend to like follow the path that that provides the most stability. And you know, so all of this is, you know, something that's really causing a lot of stress for me. But I'm also taking the moment realizing, like, this is also time for me to work on that. Like, why, what am I telling myself, you know, like, what's going to happen, you know? So it's like, you're going to be fine. Like you said, also, it's like, unless all of your family and friends are on the street, you will have a place to stay, you will have food to eat. So with that, I'm like, that's all I need, right? It's like, you have shelter, you have food, you have love, that's all you need. So
And it's important, you know, that what you just said, because, you know, for me, I live that way. My security, feeling of security in life is through my family, my friends, my, you know, my people who I come in contact with every day. That's community, you know, I might have social insurance, insurance, but really it's not the insurance that I look to for my sense of security. It's the family, the relationship we have that really should be the things that we nurture, the things that we respect, the things that we revere. It's the relationships that really form who we are. When you are younger, the daughter of so-and-so, the friend of so-and-so, the niece of so-and-so, and all those things and all those aspects of you, really, it's your community, it's your identity. So we are here. We can tell the story of tomorrow because we can look beyond today, tomorrow. If you don't look beyond today, if you don't look as a second, try to look at yourself beyond this point where you are, you will be living in fear. You'll be living in selfishness. You'll be doing things that are really, really small. And this when you affirm, I think, your dignity is to look beyond your current circumstance because you are not your current circumstance.
I kind of want to give our people who are joining us virtually opportunity to maybe ask questions, so if you have any questions, just put it in right in there. How did you get to the point, because you're very comfortable, like you said, right, with change? All my life I've seen you go through so many changes, and I think as a kid I didn't even sometimes even know that they were things that were uncomfortable, right? Because I think one of the things I remember you sharing with me was like a few years back when we went on a father-daughter trip to Mystic, right? Yeah. And you talked about, I had all these fond memories of Mystic, Connecticut as kids when you would take us. And then you told us like, all these like racist things that would happen that I never really even thought, in my mind, I didn't see it in that way. But because of how you interacted, and how you framed things, we didn't, it wasn't a negative event for us, so how are you able, or what has been your journey with framing things for yourself in that way?
It's partly obviously training, that I've had over the years through my different cultural experiences, etc. But I learned deeply, and I'll share this with you, I don't know if I've shared you before, but I'll share this with all of you, is that I when I went to school, I was taken away from my mother, my father, my brothers and sisters, and was thrown someplace else where, everybody else, and no brother there, no sister there, my aunts and uncles were far away there in the town, but my father didn't send me there. So where I was very painful for me, and I remember one time, I was by myself in a room. Just imagine a kid that's, maybe 8-9 years old. And I, all of a sudden there was a lamp, like an Aladdin lamp. And all of those, the Aladdin lamp cast my shadow on the wall, and I was the only one in the room. And it cast my shadow on the wall. And I looked at my shadow on the wall and I started dancing and moving, and my shadow keeps moving, and I will do so and so. Then all of a sudden, I started laughing, and then I was laughing, and I was dancing. I was all by myself, and then I ended up. I was sweating. I was tired, But it's like, wow, I found a way to actually look at myself and actually make fun of myself and laugh at myself and stuff. Actually learning every time to find a different way to look at the situation. So that's something that developed over time.
And
so my training then as storyteller through my parents and so on, and a lot of great people in America who are great storytellers that I've been fortunate to be with, those are all people teach you about change. But you are something else. You are something other than what your current circumstance is. So, when I take you guys out, for example, the particular incident that you're talking about, I remember one time taking you to Mystic, you and, Aisha and your brothers and stuff like that. And we have toured the place. We say, let's go have a dinner someplace. we go into that dinner and somebody comes in a car and starts yelling racial epithets at us as such.
I didn't remember that. I didn't remember that.
You did remember it?
No, I did not remember.
Did not remember, that. Yeah. So my thing was, okay, you know, just how am I going to get these children to just come into this restaurant so we can eat and get out, you know, and not have to tell them right now what's going on, and then we find out that later on. So it's always, you know, it's always dealing with, you know, different situation, changing situation, and always learning how to manage those things, but, you know, and not take them to mean a reflection of who you are. You know, some people will get really, really bitter when somebody will come out and call them names and stuff like that. Well, no, to me, you call me names, it's a reflection of yourself, not a reflection of me. You know, so those people that was spouting all those hatred to you and to me and to everybody else, you know, to me, they were doing that for themselves, and I wasn't going to poison my children with their hate.
Yeah.
You see, so.
Somebody just asked, what do you mean by looking beyond your current situation when we depend on our everyday activities that get us or try to get us to the next stage of life when we're surviving, hence shelter and food?
Well, that's very important. It's very important question, because that's why, for example, storytelling about your family is so important. It's so important to know what your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, your grand aunt, your teacher, whoever, when they tell you stories, they'll tell you, you begin to be realized that people go through changes. People are always dealing with different things every day. You know, so you think about anybody right now listening, you think about how you got here, how your mother got here, how your grandfather got here. You would realize that they've had to deal with different circumstances all of the time. They're all dealing with circumstances, and they're changing. They change professions, they change ethnicities, they change races, they change, you know, they change religion, they change all kinds of things to deal with a particular situation. You know, you ask yourself the question, and there is this saying, it's in African traditions, that there is no question without an answer. So ask yourself, how should I be seeing this now? How will it look like 20 years from now? You understand? And when you see that, and you see that you are connected, you are in a community, you are not an individual self that's sitting right here in front of you, you see that, in fact, there is always a tomorrow. There's always a tomorrow, because it's not just Kewule Kamara sitting here. It's Yelka sitting over there. It's you know, maybe Diana Cohn sitting over there someplace else. It may be, you know, Lisa sitting someplace else. You know, it's we are all really, really together, you know, on this. You know, so you begin to realize you're not alone. You're not alone, and that there is tomorrow.
Derek, you met Derek. Derek asked, what advice do you have for people who need help seeing beyond their current circumstance, especially when they feel like their realities and livelihoods are shifting?
Is that to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see. Well,
think about it.
Like, what if they don't have family? What if they don't have family?
We're in America, right? And in America, again, I'm going back to the idea of story. If people know, let's say you're an African person in America, if you know how much is in the history of people doing things, being stopped in situation, whether they're in the plantation or in prison, and they're coming out of that, and all of the lessons that they learn, you make that your resource. That's your resource for the way that you actually frame yourself. you know, to build yourself. I remember when I was in college, you know, one of the greatest books I read that really made such a big difference for me was reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, you know, and I spent all of it, reading all the changes this man went through. I could see myself in that person, even though I've never been to prison. I've never, you know, experienced half the hard life that he ever experienced. I didn't lose my father or my mother in the horrible ways in which he did. But I faced different circumstances, and I could see him changing. I could see hope in change and being able to take charge and say, I can change. I can be something else. I can reframe my story. I can find the metaphor, you know, for my life. So, you know, for a long time, Malcolm X was my metaphor for my life. Life of Malcolm X. He's always changing.
I know he's one of your heroes. I said he's one of your heroes. You have a picture in the apartment.
Because, you know, not because of specific things, but the idea of being comfortable with change and being able to do something, you know, with your life in whatever circumstance is. And you're not doing it in a vacuum. You have all the people here. You have all the resources. You have to just be appreciative of what you have. You have all the teachers. You have all the friends. You have family. You have people who in absolute strangers that are just willing to help, you know? To just have to ask the question and you get the answer. Question, jam, answer. You know that fella song? Jam, answer.
I like that you said that, because I think when people often think about resources, you know, especially in this society, we think of just material things, right? Yeah. We don't really think about community, because so much of how we are framed, how we think about ourselves is through the lens of an individualistic way, right? It's like, I made myself, I did this, I did that, you know what I mean? So for me, it's also been a lot of unlearning, even though you've done your part from a very young age to make sure I knew that, like, I was just not this one person. I was part of a community, and therefore, you know, I have all the resources I could ever need. But I think for a lot of people, they weren't raised with that, you know, and I think that's why it's hard for them to think about resources in that way, seeing the lessons from grandparents, from, you know, friends, from teachers, whoever is around you as a resource, their life journeys as resources for you.
Yeah, we make each other's life, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's a principle of reciprocity there. When I treat you as my sister, you are going to respond to me like your brother. So we are creating our own stories right there. We're making our stories intersect each other. If I say this is my mother, and I treat that person like my mother, and I can give you perfect examples in my life, well, people have become my mothers. They've taken that role. And I've become, you know, uncle to people who, you know, you look at us, you think, oh no, you come from different, well, no, I'm their uncle, you know, and they treat me like that because, you know, I treat them like my nephews. And so we create this relationship. And this relationship is really based on the stories that we share about our lives. It's the stories, our stories then interconnect, and we become community. And a storyteller in a community is the one that actually tries to bring these different stories together, to harmonize our stories, not to hide anything, not to suppress anything, but to bring them all out, because your story is my story. But your story is the story that is our story that only you can tell. So when you are telling your story, you are really telling our story, but you're telling it from your point of view, from the point of view that only you can tell. So we appreciate what your story is, because we appreciate ourselves. You see, you are part of us. That's really, I think, it means a lot to me, you know, to share story. Because, you know, when we share story, the more we share our stories, the more we see that we are all alike, that we have the same needs, you know, have the same fears, the same anxieties, and that we can go over this. Like, obviously, tomorrow.
Yeah. So if you guys have any more questions, we'll take like two more questions. So comment below with your question. I'm trying to think. Can you share with us one of the a critical moment in your life? After all, this is a platform for sharing stories of critical moments in your life. So can you share one?
A critical moment in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, it's when I went to, again, I talk your story, so please pardon me, but that's how I learned myself to tell stories, to look at the stories in my life. I grew up with a young man. His name is Ibrahim Barry.
Mm.
Ibrahim Barry was really, you know, a Fulani guy, young, you know, very, very handsome. Everybody called Ibrahim Barry so handsome, etc. You know, I used to be jealous of him. All the young girls always liked Ibrahim Barry. But he was my close friend. We're very, very close. So I left Africa. I was fortunate to come to America when I was just 17 years old, which was really like at that time, you know, like, wow, you got to go to America at that age. And so I came, and for many years I was out of touch with a lot of my friends that I grew up with. And one day I got a call. I was already in New York City years later. I got a call from some guy, and he says, you know, Mohammed, you know, Ibrahim Barry. Wow, I was so happy. And I was so excited because I thought I'd gone through so many changes and all that stuff, and I didn't know whether we'd be friends again. I talked to him. So we met in Philadelphia, in the Penn Station in Philadelphia, we're talking, and then he said to me, Keule, you know, you have not changed at all. You think he changed? You think he's the same person as back then? It was so reassuring. Again, my friend telling me that, you know, oh no, those stories, I'm familiar with those stories. So, but here's the turning point. Ibrahim Barry later on had moved to Texas. He moved to Texas with his wife, who I met also from Sierra Leone. And I got a call. At that time, you didn't have this leaving a message for someone. I got the call, and I knew it was Ibrahim, and I didn't call him 2 days. After 2 days, I got a call from his uncle. And the uncle said, Kewile, you don't know me that well, but you know, I am the uncle of Ibrahim. Mm-hmm. Ibrahim Barry, your friend. Say, yeah. He says, I would like for you to come to Kennedy Airport. I say, Kennedy Airport? I say, I don't have time to go to Kennedy Airport. He said, but you must come to Kennedy Airport. I said, why? He said, because I am on my way to take your friend, Ibrahim, back to Sierra Leone, Africa. Ibrahim Barry, my friend, has killed his wife with a gun in Texas and killed himself. And they are all from our little town in Kabbalah. And so they were going to take him, and his uncle, Ben Jallo, who is in New Jersey, wanted me to be there because he knew. Well, I tell you, as a turning point in my life at that time, I was so shocked. I couldn't understand how Ibrahim, my friend, could do this. How? What was he thinking at that moment? And at that moment, I realized I have been sucked into this tunnel thinking of making progress, getting these degrees, just moving on and not developing myself. Mm-hmm. I saw that my friend was lacking something, something that told him that whatever he was going through at that moment was the most important in his life, that he has lost something so much that he would go kill somebody else and kill himself. And I didn't want to be that. I wanted to develop myself. So I learned to go back into understanding myself through telling stories. And it's, the more I told the story about my friend, the more I understood, to me, what was most important, that it was a relationship that's so important. And I realized that moment, for example, I shouldn't have called my friend.
Mm.
most important thing, he was calling me because he was in a desperate situation.
Yeah.
I was so wrapped up in whatever I was doing. I was saying, Ibrahim can wait. No, mm-hmm. Ibrahim, your friends can't wait. They are precious. Your family can't wait. They are precious. They are more degrees. They are not money. They are much more than that. So that was a huge turning point in my life in terms of how I relate to my friends. They are, and my family. When I say friends, family, it's the same thing. You know, yeah. Those people that I love unconditionally. And that is, so that to wow. me, cultivate that. That's
well, it makes so much sense now, you know, because it's funny because you never told me that story. I've heard his name before, but you never told me that particular story about him. Yeah. But I think it makes so much sense now because, you know, growing up, he always talked about the importance of like family and friends and yes, making yeah. time for people, that you're never too busy for anyone, you know? Yeah. And so now it's clear why you feel so strongly about that. So thank you. Thank you, Baba, for sharing.
Yeah.
I know.
Thanks for letting me tell the story.
Yeah.
The opportunity to tell the story to more than just you and my close friends. But that story is really like dear to me because Ibrahim was very special to me. Mm. And he tried to call me in his hour of need, and I didn't ask at that time. So.
Yeah. Anyway. And we never know. The thing is, that's the crazy part is like we never know when it's somebody's like time of need, you know? And so it's, yeah. So, yeah, make time, folks. Make time for people, you know? You never know. We have another question. This is actually from Adina.
Adina,
yes. Oh. She writes, given the stress and anxiety of this moment, finding even small things that bring you joy during your day feels so important. For both of you, what small things during your day now bring you joy? I guess I'll go first. There are several things, but one of the things that gives me joy is practicing gratitude. Like first thing in the morning, I think a lot of people know this, but I have this journal. It's called the 5-Minute Journal. This is not an ad for them, but it's just what it is. And each morning I write, you know, 3 things that I'm grateful for, 3 things that would make my day great. So it anchors, you know, the mindset, right? I'm framing my day, you know? So I write down the 3 things I'm grateful for, 3 things that would make my day great, and then an affirmation. One of the affirmations I've been writing recently has been, I am enough, you know? I think even with starting this podcast, it's been so much like, it's brought up some insecurities, you know, like, am I articulate enough? Am I clear? Do I have the voice, you know? Are people going to want to listen to this podcast? But I'm telling myself every day, I am enough. And what I create is enough has been mine. And then at the end of the day, writing 3 things that made my day great. So it could be something as simple as making myself a turmeric latte, you know, or like talking to my dad, talking to my friends. Adina, our weekly Black Girl Magic virtual happy hour has been definitely something that brings me joy. So what about you, Baba?
Well, now I get up, you know, I get up. The first thing that I do is I get myself some tea, some ginger, lemon tea with some African herbs, you know, because I believe in that so much. And I drink that. While I'm drinking that, I'm trying to, and the next thing I want to know is how is my friends and relatives doing, you know? And so now the best thing is to look at the mail, just in case I got any calls, et cetera, and so I can respond to those immediately. But the thing about the affirmation part, I think is really, really important. I tell myself today, it's the best day in the world. The creator of the heavens and the earth has never created a day so beautiful. So whatever is out there, whatever is unexpected, okay, it's an opportunity for me to find out why is that way. To ask the question, ask the right questions, and I will get the answers. So I am always, you know, trying to say what I want my day to be.
yeah,
you know, and say it positively that this yeah. is what it is. It is a beautiful day. I am going to be on a podcast with my daughter. It's going to be wonderful. My friends are going to like it. I'm going to enjoy it. She's going to enjoy it. And we're going to do this wonderful thing. In fact, it's done. We've done it already.
Yeah, we've already done it. Yeah, you told me that this today because I was getting a little anxious. And you're like, no, say it. It was great. It was amazing. People enjoyed it, you know, and all of these things. But it's like, yeah, you have to speak it. You have to, you know, speak it into existence.
Your words.
So I think this is, you know, we've been talking for some time. If nobody else have any more questions, I think we can, you know, wrap up. Baba, do you have any last message, word?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. You are the people that make us survive. It's you that we depend on. It's not the government. It's not the big corporations. It's not anybody out there. You are the inspiration. You are the people that make us move. You are the ones that are going to say what it is and let it be. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you all. Take care.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation, and I hope that it was as meaningful to you as it was for me. The message from that conversation has really helped me throughout this year. It has helped me to process my emotions, the feelings of grief, anxiety, anger, loneliness, sadness, you name it, I felt it, and you probably have as well. You know, like many people, I entered this new year with so much excitement for change, but not this kind of change. I am entering a new year with a renewed sense of who I am and what's possible. One of the things that my father said that I really want to reiterate is, if you don't look beyond today and don't look at yourself beyond this point you are in, you will be living in fear. You will be doing things that are very small. And so as we enter a new year, I hope that you will take that message with you and find a way to embrace change and find a way to look beyond this point, and that you play big, that you are fearless about your dreams and all that you want for yourself and for your family and for your community. And know that tomorrow will come and that the world will not remain the same. With that said, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. If you celebrated Hanukkah, I hope that it was a wonderful time with family. However you celebrated it, I want to wish you a happy Kwanzaa. My family celebrates Kwanzaa and any other holidays you're celebrating. And I also want to wish you a happy, healthy new year. We will take a few weeks break, so please follow us on social media to stay up to date on when the next episode will be released. But we are so excited to come back in the new year with more inspiring, empowering stories that will help you and propel you forward. So thank you again. Take care.
Theme music by Exile Dynamics featuring More Box.